You know, I've known people that have had these dinner services or these meal services that were sort of blasé. They didn't like them all that much. I mean, if you're working and you don't really want to be eating fast food and you don't want to come home to some boxed stuff, then having a service like Blue Apron makes a lot of sense. So I subscribe to Blue Apron, and I get delivered right to my front door packages of goodness. Japanese ramen noodles, and there was a wild-caught Alaskan salmon, just beautifully crumbled, and heirloom tomatoes. Oh, man. I mean, I love pasta, and I love salmon. I like, you know, I'm not a big seafood fan, but one of the places where seafood belongs, I think, is with pasta. And, oh, man, this was good. Didn't take long to make it all. I'm telling you, 10 minutes. I really recommend this. This is a service like none other. And there's new recipes that are created every week. They're not repeated within a year. This is the thing that I really like about this. You're going to get something new every single week from the great people at Blue Apron. There are different delivery options, and you can choose those that'll fit your needs. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Me, I love them every week. And Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. I think cooking together builds strong family bonds. I think it's fun to sit down to a meal. It's an art form. It's not just eating. It's sharing the day, man. And when you've got a delicious meal, check out Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Phil. That's my name. Don't wear it out. If you're going to use it here. blueapron.com/Phil. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Phil. Start enjoying your food and eat healthy and, you know, maintain yourself physically and at the same time enjoying fantastic meals with your family from Blue Apron. Well, we're just weeks away. I mean, a couple of weeks away now from pro football, Jack. The National Football League and DraftKings.com. This is the time to start. I'm gonna look at this as a period of time sharpening my football skills. I'm going to get serious now, okay? Last year, you guys thought I was some kind of schlub. Forget it. I'm on top of this. And I am going to study, and I'm going to make myself hundreds of thousands of hours of good times. You notice, like, yeah, I didn't say money.
Yeah, you didn't say money.
But I could if I wanted to. See, my thing is this. I love football so much. I love watching football. And I want to, you know, I want to have a stake in every game that I see. I want to have a stake in every game that is played. You know, General?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of these teams, they're not home teams.
Right, but make every team a home team. When you play DraftKings.com, you're picking your players, you're picking your team defense, you're going up against other players. You know, you've heard us talk about the leagues. You've heard us talking about friends going against friends. You've heard us talking about different levels of play and different levels of money, too. So what is this stuff? You're not spending hundreds of dollars. I don't know where you hear this thing. You can spend as much or as little as you want. Don't worry about it, man. A buck, $2, $5. I'm telling you. DraftKings.com is coming up. I've been watching the preseason, and I can't figure out anything.
Well, yes, I was going to ask you. You can't
fight about preseason.
I don't know what they're doing, man. I just saw the Dolphins get their asses handed to them by Dallas, so I guess, what does that mean? Does that mean Dallas is...
No, the preseason doesn't tell you anything.
Exactly. So, and I'm seeing reruns of the USFL, so I don't know what that means. Hurry to DraftKings.com now to choose your players, and you could seriously cash in on week one. A $5 million $5 million opening weekend at DraftKings.com, man. $5 million bucks. You could get up to $1 million of that $5 million jackpot. Choose your players, cash in using this code to play for free with your first deposit. Okay, Hendry, that's the code. If you've never played DraftKings.com, you can, with your first deposit, play for free by using this code, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, that's Hendry. That's code Hendry to play for free and your share of the $5 million in total prizes in week one. Only at DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com, eligibility restrictions may apply. See their website for details and then come on and play DraftKings. Hi, it's Phil Hendry. All the voices, all the characters, all the people you hear being interviewed, all the people that you hear interviewing me, all the people and all of me, it's all the same guy. It's me. I'm doing all the voices.
Yes, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Yo, this is Margaret Gray.
I'm
General Galen Shaw.
Bud Dickman. And I'm Robert Leonard. And welcome to the program. Mr. Hendry here, back from last night's gig there at
Ventura Comedy Club. Yeah,
that was fun. And I want to thank everybody that came out to the Ventura Comedy Club last night. Randy and all the guys.
In the club.
Always very, very welcoming.
Yes, and by the way, this is young MC, I think. Well,
it's Young M.A.
Yeah, I'm pretty, but I'm
all right, Young M.A. and...
Yeah, Young M.A., and the song is called... Ooh, the hell?
That's very colorfully named.
You know, it's to the point where I don't understand anything.
All right, so getting back to what happened last night.
So you were up there at the Ventura Comedy Club, and then what?
And then I went on stage, and I did the gig.
Then what?
Yeah, then what?
What do you mean, then what?
Well, did you go home, or...
How about asking me about the gig?
Well, I assume that it went well, Phil, but...
But you want to know what else happened?
We're screwing around.
So what? How did the gig go?
Anyway.
Damn, Jerry, that's all we're doing is screwing around.
Shut up, Batwell.
Come on. It went fine. It was good. I mean, I was on stage for an hour and 40 minutes because they forgot to flash the light. They give you like a 10-minute light.
Wait a minute. And you? And they didn't? They forgot to give you the light?
Yeah, you were up there for longer, huh? You should get more money for it and everything.
That it ain't doesn't work that way, man, okay?
Well, so you were up there, so how did it go?
Well, I mean, I felt like I was out of material, and I was angry.
Well, no doubt you're out of material, but what's that got to do with how long you've been on stage? I'm only screwing around, Phil. Come on.
Yeah, but sooner lighten up.
Okay, thank you.
Look at him getting all hurt.
I'm not hurt. I just understand the joke.
Well, it threw you off, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it sort of threw you off.
You guys I was going to say clown up.
What do you mean, clown up?
What does that mean? You meant clam up.
Yeah.
That's what he meant. He meant clam up.
All right, because when you say clown up, I don't know whether that has to do with me psychologically or physically.
You know, what do you mean, General?
What if I clown up, do I have to do something with my pants or...
No, you don't. I didn't say... The word means that I've clam up. What I'm saying is I was on stage and it was a lot of fun, but I was up there for an hour and 40 minutes. And Randy says, we forgot to give you the light. I said, well, that's good to know because I thought I'd... Was running out of material, man. I mean, seriously, I thought I had enough. But in any event, and we're going to have on the show here later, Art Griego, who was on stage with me last night. He was talking about the fear of flying.
Oh, this guy, you know, you didn't. Are you kidding me?
Now, you didn't have Art get up there and talk about that.
I did, and it went over very well with the audience. So Art's going to talk about that. And
he's talking about how pilots are afraid of flying. That to me.
Are you kidding me or something? Are they really?
No, they're not really. This guy Griego's got a screw loose.
Well, he claims that pilots, while they're very good, every pilot is good, every pilot is well-tested and well-trained, you can't be a pilot, you can't be a successful pilot, unless you're scared to death of heights.
Wait a second, Phil. Now, this is the man, we had him on once before, and he was a raving clown on this. Wasn't he the one that said that he had piloted an aircraft and he landed it while it was in flames because someone was bothering the flight attendant for peanuts. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but that's not... This is different, all right?
What be different about it?
What's going to be different about a guy who...
Everybody be quiet.
Jesus.
All right, I just want... Everybody be quiet. Art Griego is going to be on later in the show.
Folks, you don't see Phil. He's waving his finger going,
Art Griego.
That's Margaret. Art Griego's going to be on later in the show, and he's going to talk to us about being a pilot and being scared to death of flying, and that is the normal state of affairs for pilots.
Now, Phil...
No.
We can't even comment.
Not now, no. Okay, because we get bogged down in this bull crap. Now, the other thing that we're going to do, the other human being we're going to have on...
By the way, can I just say something? When Steve Bozell was on, because I heard the show this morning, it was a repeat from last year. Steve Bozell was talking about, Vernon Dozier was on when he got his nose broken.
Oh, yeah, the Porky Pig thing.
Yes. And they played Pigs on a Wing, and I was thinking how nice it would have been if Steve had done just a little extra work and had to do, you know, do that?
Oh, yeah, where the pig goes, ba-da, ba-da, ba-da. That's all, folks.
Yes, and had the Looney Tunes. All right. So...
Well, I mean, you know, that's a whole year ago, Margaret.
Well, but, you know, it might be something worthy of calling him up and asking him about that, because I think that show would have been far better. As I remember the show now, he seemed lazy and defensive. He came in slovenly.
Yeah, he kind of came in slovenly on that.
That's what you want to do with Steve Bozell. You want to call him up in special and single him out and make fun of him and say that he was slovenly and say that the show was lousy.
Well, Phil, shouldn't we point these things out?
You know that that guy is walking. That guy is. He's just about that far away from jumping off a bridge.
Oh, Phil.
I'm telling you, Bozell is the most sensitive guy. So why don't you call him a year later, and say your show blew, here's a good idea.
I was only reminded of it because of the fact that the show replayed this morning. But I thought it would have been cute that when Vernon came on with the broken nose and the nose is all flattened up against the face.
Jesus, that picture, Phil, did you ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
He looked like he was pigged. Well, I think Bozell said it, he got pigged.
Yeah, and I think it would have been a far better illustration of how a man can get pigged in football had he had the that's all, folks. All right, what are you looking at?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Don't scrunch your face up and look at me.
Get her off of me.
I'm not on him.
You're coming after him. It looks like you're going to drive your nails into his eyes.
So what if I was going to? What about it?
Give me something.
Oh, relax.
You know, Margaret... So,
Well, he's scrunching his face up there.
What are you talking about? That's all, folks.
You've never heard of Porky Pig?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, so big deal. So Porky Pig, so that was... I know, here's what we got to do. Call up Bozell.
Right, now, Phil, no.
Call up Bozell. Say, a year ago, you filled in for Phil. The show would have been better when Vernon Dozier came on and talked about his busted nose. If you, along with playing pigs on the wing...
Was pigs three different kinds?
Yeah, I think it was pigs three different kinds.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Call him up and say, along with pigs, three different kinds, and pigs on the wing, you should have played the Looney Tunes. Bleh, 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 that's all, folks.
You see, you're laughing because you have no respect.
Yeah, that's it. That's why I'm laughing. All right, folks, let's laugh our way through this one. Traffic. We got Bob Bakin out with the traffic right now. Bob?
I'm pulling the right down. I'm tearing down the hot town. And if it's a hot town for you, the hot town of the old town tonight, because we got a big, big jam up here on the weekend. You'll be going out of your weekend. You know, Labor Day weekend. You'll have a week and a half of Eisenhower and Einstein and by Schweitzer, too. You know, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're about to die. All right, it's over here, the Sky Boy.
Hi, my name is Zingler. I'm going to be up there on around Santa Barbara. It's raining on downtown. It'll be raining, and you'll be very heavy more, son. As your ball strike is worth, here's a boy, Sky Baby Sweetin.
My ball sack. Yeah. Boy, Sky Baby Sweetin.
Mike Nicosati, at his own expense, has brought over antiquities from Southeast Asia, and now he offers them to you. Hi, I'm Mike Nicosati. I'm the guy that just did the announcing, because I don't believe I should have other people do announcing for me. I believe that I ought to tell you straight up. I'm Mike Nicosati, and what I've got for you, I think you're going to find interesting. I went to Southeast Asia, and I bartered with the various tribesmen there and a lot of the different people in the bazaars and in the open markets, and I found antiquities that would look fantastic on your pool deck, in your bedroom, or in your bathroom. Here's a piece of a 6,000-year-old temple. No one knows what religion. It might be sun-worshipping. It's something that's pretty far out. I'll sell this to you for $15.95, and you can stick this in your house anywhere. You can worship it. You can start your own religion. Who cares? I couldn't give a hoot, a hot, holy... I could give a fuck. Here is a lovely statue. This is the multi-armed goddess Shiva of the Hindu religion. They say that Shiva is the destroyer of worlds. Well, I think Shiva is going to create your world. I'll sell this to you for $29.95. That's $29.95. Mike Nicosati's.
Mike Nicosati's Antiquities and Mike Nicosati's Interesting Knickknacks.
We're in the Bellflower Mall. We're also in the Cosmos Mall and in Commerce. And you can find us now at 5151 Slatterly, right there at the intersection of Slauson and Slot and Slut Boulevard.
Mike Nicosino,
the Antiquity Guy.
All of Mike Nicosino's antiquities have been stolen from the rightful place in the country. Then you find out about it, you should tell the people. United Nations be interested in knowing about it.
Hello, everyone. This is Margaret Gray for the Margaret Gray Songbook. Remember, the Margaret Gray Songbook is the perfect complement to any outdoor party, a backyard barbecue, a sing-along, sitting around the old fire pit and making yourself some s'mores. How about just roasting those marshmallows independent of any graham cracker or any chocolate or other kinds of things that will put fat on the thigh and the and the buttock? We'll be singing such wonderful songs as "For Wild Is the Wind." Wild is the wind. chances are, 'cause I wear a silly grin. Do-do, 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 and you too. Yes, the Margaret Gray songbook is good for all members of the family, no matter how small, no matter how large, no matter how stupid, no matter how smart. Here's my husband Frank to tell you more.
The Margaret Gray songbook is a wonderful idea, and when he first came to me and said, Frank, let's do a Margaret Gray songbook, I looked at him and I said, are you sure, honey? Are you sure you want to go down this road? And he said yes. Well, as you know, my wife has one of the most beautiful voices that you've ever heard. He is an absolute angel. Of course, his voice is so womanly, and he's such a woman, you can well imagine how beautifully he sings these great songs, such as,
you're having my baby, a do-da-do-da-do, do-da-do, and your kid's coming out, and your kid's coming out there.
You're having my baby, and we did research on the song. Yes, he was having my baby.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
The Margaret Gray songbook, I do very heartily suggest you buy it, read through it, decide whether you really want to own it, and if you don't, and this hurts me to say this, but if you don't, drive down a very steep grade, a mountain grade, and throw it from the vehicle into someone's back bushes. So it isn't found for years, and when someone does find it, they were actually looking for old, stuck-together foldouts from Swank magazine.
The Margaret Gray songbook. He has the voice of an angel, and he's the mother of my son. And she's pretty special, too. The Margaret Gray songbook, available now at Barbalee's in the mall. Hands on the patty desserts.
It's the world famous Phil Henry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California. Phil had a. This isn't this goddamn all fucked up again, is it? How many times in a row?
Don't play it because it's in hot rotation.
You want to know what's in hot rotation? Forget it.
Now don't do it, all right, Jack?
What's the problem here? Well, this is the 18th morning in a row I'm listening to Amity Affliction and All Fucked Up. I'm beginning to think that maybe it's something personal.
Well, maybe it is.
Why, you lousy little... Hey, come on. Talk to me like that, friend. Tell you what, next time you pull me off of him, I'll have his head in the crook of my arm, and the body will be sitting there going, huh?
All right, that's,
Yeah, that's right. Read it and weep.
Ah, damn, General, that's,
You almost caught me. You almost said, goddamn, General, then you got it out.
Yeah.
Forget it, man. You guys are nincompoops.
All right, General, thank you, and thank you very much, Bud, for nothing. I don't know what you did there.
But playing All Fucked Up by Amity Affliction.
Can we watch our language? I don't care if it is the title of the song.
Right.
Well, General, what were you going to ask me?
I was going to ask you, before I was so rudely interrupted, about Poncho, because you know we have Jim Sadler on.
Poncho, yes, our cat Poncho. Well, Dr. Sadler is on the line. We probably ought to get him on.
Well, we don't have to get him on right now. He's in the gym, but he's working out there. You know, Wireman is over there at the gym with Abner Curtis. Because they want to talk about this Roberto Duran fight.
So the three of them are together.
Yeah, and Sadler's doing his working out. Dr. Sadler is, a lot of you folks who are longtime listeners to the Phil Henry Show, you may know that Dr. Sadler is ripped. He's. I'm just saying it the way it says here, Jim.
Well, yeah, and it's true. I am ripped. I've got big arms, and I got a big chest. And I that's really all we need to say.
Well, But the publicist sent over Dr. Jim Sadler, who's ripped and has a washtub stomach.
Well, yeah, we want people to say that, but I've been on the show so much, probably not necessary. But I do want you to mention how big my biceps are. It's funny, you know.
Yeah, what's funny about it?
Well, it's funny. Well, you sound really contentious.
Yeah, what's wrong, General?
There's nothing wrong, but I don't know why. We're on here to talk to him about a cat and his veterinarian experience, but I got to sit here and talk about
how big my arms are. What? What's wrong with that?
That doesn't sound like it's got nothing to do with the topic.
It's okay, Dr. Sadler. I understand. We want you want people to know that you have a well-rounded life.
I want people to know that because I sound like a dork on account of the animal training accident that I was in. See, if I hadn't lost half my tongue to a cheetah, I wouldn't sound like a dog, you know?
All right, that's a very good point.
Jeez, man, I don't know whether I like that or not. And
well, Dr. Sadler, you can't have it both ways.
You want to bet?
All right, I'm going to get up and walk out of this room and go to his office and show everyone that lifting weights isn't all...
Oh, my God, you're threatening to come over here and beat my ass.
Yes! I am.
All right,
doctor, let me take this over. Thank you. Dr. Sadler is over there. He's in San Diego right now. at Curtis Gym. This is Abner Curtis's gym. Abner Curtis is a great light heavyweight for many, many years out of San Diego. He's going to be with Harvey Wehrman. And you're doing some lifting over there, but that's not really what we want to talk about, Dr. Satter. We want to talk about my cat, Poncho.
Right, and Poncho is the black and white cat that Phil and Lauren have. And Poncho is, how old, Phil?
Poncho's 10 years old.
I was going to be part of the...
I'm sorry, General.
Yeah, I kind of took it over because...
Yeah, why did you take it over?
I don't know. It seemed like something got out of control or something.
No, it didn't get out of control. Mr. Henry took it over because you didn't talk about how big my...
All right, we know your arms are big, Jim.
Well, why is it every time I bring that you make it sound like I'm being a child?
Yeah, are you going to answer him or am I?
I am...
Well, what does that mean?
Wait.
I'd like... No.
Dr. Sadler, there's nothing wrong with us mentioning that you have big arms. I'm sorry that General Shaw did not get it out quick enough.
Yeah, but that's you saying it. What about General Shaw?
All right, you know, Phil's right. Doctor, may I call you Jim?
Of course.
Jim, I'm sorry. You do an awful lot of work on your upper body, and congratulations.
Yes, and I would say the same thing. I'm sorry, we didn't mean to belittle that.
All right, thank you.
All you do is your upper body, huh?
That's all you need to do. I lift until I've got a massive upper body. Massive.
No, but doesn't that, like, you got no ass? I shouldn't say no ass.
It's not important. Women want to see the massive upper body. Just to give you an example, from the waist down, I've got stick legs. No, may I say the word, Phil?
Go ahead. I mean, you know, we don't have any FCC here.
You don't have any?
We don't have any FCC, okay?
Oh, my God, Phil, you look very angry this morning.
What's going on, Phil?
Nothing, man. I just don't need everybody.
Okay, you don't have any FCC.
No, we don't have any FCC, so you can say it.
All right, I got no ass. There, is that good?
Well, you don't have to go yelling it, man.
Yeah, why try to get the attention of the man? Remember what Jack Kerouac said, avoid the authorities.
What the fuck is this What the fuck is this retard talking about now?
Hey, you smile when you say that, friend. That young man's a friend of mine.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm sorry.
Okay, so we're all one big happy family. Go ahead, General.
All right, well, what I wanted to ask you, Jim, was this. Phil's cat, Poncho, has been diagnosed with diabetes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine.
And Phil gave him his very first shot of insulin this evening, and things seem to be going swimmingly. But Phil wanted to know, and I suppose you could ask Phil, but and I'm very concerned because we all love Poncho. He wants to know the food, right?
And did your doctor tell you?
Well, my doctor did tell me, and he said, my veterinarian told me.
Yeah, talk about your doctor. Did your doctor tell you to eat pate? Wow, what are you doing, man?
Shut up, man.
God, what a dick.
You guys done?
Done.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what did he say?
He said to feed the cats, both of the cats, feed them meat. That's what cats, you know, eat. And
that's exactly correct. High-protein diet. Cats are meat eaters. Cats are meat eaters. The cat is predatory. A lot of people that are dog people, and they like dogs because dogs are pack animals. Okay, wonderful. Good for them. I'm not putting down dog owners, by the way. I have three dogs. I've got three Reimeiners.
Why are those are hunting dogs?
Yes, they are. They're they got spots all over them and everything. And
you go hunting, Dr. Sandler, or what?
No, I don't really go hunting. I just like to have the dogs there. They're just friendly dogs.
So you don't go hunting? How come you got hunting dogs?
Yeah.
I have... Who gives a fuck?
Hey, we got to watch the language.
Why are you using that language?
I'm a little bit frustrated here. I'm trying to get... I can't get out the words that I want to...
All right, look, we've got the same... Every morning, we've got a guy that's on the verge of tears, or he's ready to slit his own throat. Because he can't get out the words he's trying to say. You know?
All right, I understand. Let me lead this interview.
All right, whatever you say there, mein Führer, you should have seen Phil.
Let me... Oh, man.
You know, Phil, if I were you, I'd just walk out. I walk out of that studio the way that you're treated.
No, it's fine. Okay, so Poncho has been recommended to eat this meat. And you were saying that cats are predators.
Yes. What do you mean, this meat? Was he pointing to anything?
What a dick.
I'm making a couple of jokes.
Oh, man, if we was on the radio still, FCC be all over you like white on rice.
I can't make a joke?
That was very funny. No, I wasn't pointing to anything.
Okay, well, you said this meat. I thought, what do you... This meat. Dr. Sam, don't bother me. I'm on the... That's my nurse. That's nurse... Don't bother me. It's Nurse Terry.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nurse Terry. Was that the same nurse the other morning that was at Popeye's Fried Chicken with you?
I gotta go.
You can't hang up.
No, you can't hang up, Dr. Sandler. Yeah, see? Yeah, you're stuck. You're stuck. No. No, we won't release your line. No. I'm gonna put you back on the air. I'm putting you back on the air.
Fuck it, man.
Hey, Dr. Sandler, that went out.
I'm sorry.
And you have a lot of your patients listening.
I'll bet a lot of your patients tune in to listen.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say anything.
So that was the girl that you pulled the stunt with us the other morning, the San Diego bus rolling into the bay?
It's Terry. She does work for me as a receptionist and nurse. No, we weren't at Popeye's Fried Chicken. We gave the number of Fried Chicken, and then we had it forward to our number. So,
oh, wait a minute, but you gave out the Popeye's Fried Chicken number and it forwarded on to your office.
That's right.
Isn't that like torturous business practice? Isn't that against the law?
No, it's not against the law. I know Aaron Dooley, who owns the Popeye joint, okay? Now, you want to waste time with that, or you want to talk about the cat and the predatory nature of a cat?
No, I think I'm all done with you. I'm very disappointed in you.
Oh, what a dickhead, man. You bring me on the show.
You know, and I could hang up on you, but I'm going to let you go out in a reasonably respectful manner. You came on the show, you effed with me, you said you were at Popeye's Fried Chicken, Terry works there, you got a bucket, this, that. I hope it was worth it.
You know something, Phil? For a guy that pulls a lot of jokes on people, you're really thin-skinned, you know that?
Boy, that's a really good point.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, I got it. He's got you there, Phil.
I have to agree.
Oh, am I thin-skinned?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. I mean, you are... You pull all these jokes, man. You don't let people do it to you.
You don't. And when they do it to you, you're very angry. And look at you. You want to ban him for life.
Yeah. And all I did was say that I was at Popeye's Fried Chicken. Big wow. Terry, come on over here.
Why?
I want you to say hi to Mr. Henry.
Fucking ass.
She don't want to talk to you.
I heard the effing a-hole, too.
He heard that. Hey, Terry. He heard that. Terry, hold on for a minute. What are you doing? That takes a quarter, doesn't take a nickel here. She's getting a gumball.
Will you come on?
I'm sorry. So, the cat is predatory by nature. It's a hunter-gatherer. Not a hunter-gatherer, it's a hunter. And it bonds with the other, one other person. It pairs off. And so the cat pairs off with his human and goes out and does, you know, wants to go out and have some kicks. Most of the time, the human's dull and boring and doesn't want to do nothing. So the cat sits there going, oh, baby, this is going to be a... really tough 20 years of my life, because a cat only lives 20 years, and most humans is boring, like I was saying. So anyway...
All I want to find out about is what to feed my cat. I gave him the insulin shot.
Yeah, feed him meat, and make sure it's the canned, and don't go, this meat, and point to your thing, because...
I didn't do that. That was you making the joke, and I didn't think it was funny.
Yeah, okay, man.
See what I'm saying? This is what we're talking about, Jim.
Oh, Jim, is it?
Yeah, I know the guys.
Well, we want you to have a little bit lighter view of life, Phil.
Jim, huh? That's what we're talking about, Jim.
We call him Jim, yes.
I'm conversing with everybody on the show, of course.
All right, then what?
Then what?
What do you mean, Jimmy?
Then what in terms of the cat?
Oh, well, then make sure that you give the insulin shot right after your cat has eaten. Do not give him an insulin shot if he's not either the... Because, you know, the insulin will make it low blood sugar. You don't want the cat to become hypoglycemic.
Hypoglycemic.
You're not a doctor. I don't see anything hanging on your wall, you know, other than maybe your...
Go ahead.
Nothing.
What were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say it.
Might as well say it. She's not going to let you go.
Your underwear.
Okay, hold on for a minute.
Margaret, come on.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, my God, she's in my office.
I'm throwing them around the room now, Phil. Watch this. Terry, you might want to clean that up. Yeah, pick it up. Do something. All right, I'm coming back.
I don't want that.
Where's he? Yes.
I don't want to do. See, I don't want anybody doing that.
What are you talking about?
I don't want anybody going through a phone around here again. I can get in trouble. You just went right into that guy's office and kicked his ass.
Is there any doubt that there is no one on earth more deserving of an ass kicking than this ass? Ass? Dr. Jim Assler.
Okay. Camera's here, you know. Okay. I gotta get going here. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, Dr. Jim Assler.
That's right. That's right. Read it and weep.
Is there anybody out there?
World famous Phil Henry Show of the El Pacific on Southern California. Be right back.
Yay!
Is there anybody out there?
The backstage pass to the world famous Phil Henry Show gets you into a world that we think, quite frankly, is rather sacred. It's the world of me, of us, of you, of all of us, of them, of all of them. It's the world of the creative world of comedy and humor and the religion that it are. And that's why I think a subscription to our website, philhenryshow.com, it's not really a subscription. I think it's a religious donation.
Phil.
I'm sorry, I think it is.
But it's not tax deductible.
No, it's not tax deductible, but it ought to be. It ought to be, because this is your religion. This is where you come to worship every day. This is where you come to feel the endorphins flowing from the fine, excellent, high-level, really smooth, and really, you know, I mean, wow, humor that you hear here every day. This should be your North Star.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show has two types of subscriptions. You can get the year-long subscription or the one-month subscription. Now, with the year-long subscription, you'll get all of the best of the radio downloads for free and a $25 Amazon gift card. Now, isn't that worth it? Doesn't that make it all worthwhile? Doesn't that make it worth getting out of bed in the morning, dragging yourself out of bed, pushing yourself into a pair of dirty underwear and going out into the world and seeing if there's anything out there for you? Yes, in just a pair of underwear. You forgot to put on pants.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
It's worth it. It's your religion.
Your religion. Bosco Prescott today. Bosco Prescott lawn supplies. Bosco Prescott gardening supplies. And now, a new one. Bosco Prescott patio furniture. Bosco Prescott will endear yourself. You're going to watch what he does. When you come to see Bosco Prescott, and what is Bosco Prescott? It's a small figurine sitting there in the middle of our back sales area. Walk up, dip your hand in the holy water, cross yourself, and go, Bosco, I'm here for a deal. And then the Bosco Prescott deal of the day comes shooting right out of his mouth, and you grab that card and it'll say a free plant. It might say free plant. It might say, please go home. We have nothing for you today. That's right. At Bosco Prescott, we decide whether we actually have anything for you or whether we even want you in our store. And if we don't, we politely tell you to get lost. Bosco Prescott today. Bosco Prescott today. 16 separate locations in 15 different countries. Now, what does that mean? Yep, you got it. There's two in one of those countries. Which one? Guessed again. The United States. Why not? The other 14, I guess you might say. I don't know whether they're even open. Bosco Prescott today. Bosco Prescott, gardening supplies, lawn supplies, and now patio furniture. Bosco Prescott today.
Oof!
Bosco Prescott. Go and see the Bosco Prescott figurine, genuflect, and get our deal of the day. Thank you very much, Dr. Jim Sadler.
I think you ought to, clean up some of the...
Yes, there might be some questions.
About what? About Bosco? About Poncho?
Yes, about Poncho.
You did about name your cat Bosco?
No, never did. Bosco is not a cool name, man. Bosco is like a... Isn't that like a racist name?
Yeah, pretty much. Why? On account they had Bosco, like Bosco chocolate syrup?
Yeah. That Bosco chocolate syrup, man.
Yeah, did you ever have any Bosco?
No. My mother, they never bought that stuff.
We did. I mean, actually, no.
You did, Mr. Henry? What was it like? I'm too young to know about Bosco chocolate syrup.
Why would you want to know about that, man? That's racially offensive.
Yeah, but nobody knew it, I don't think.
I don't think anybody really thought of it, Robert. It's kind of like Sambo's restaurant, you know. And I didn't think about it. I knew that there was a cartoon character named Bosco, and it was a little black boy. And I knew that that was his name. And then they had this chocolate syrup. And we would buy it, and I don't think we ever bought it, though.
That's right, Phil. Distance yourself from it for as much as you can. My family bought it. We bought it by the gallon. All right?
Well, you're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. My mother and father bought Bosco chocolate syrup by the, literally, by the a shipping container full. We had it in the garage. I was embarrassed. God, I was embarrassed.
Why would they do that?
My father loved it, and he had no concern whatsoever whether it was offensive. In fact, if it was offensive, he would buy more. And you know my father was not a racist.
Well, now, how can you say that? If your old man, I don't care, if your old man buys Bosco chocolate syrup by the shipping container, that's what you said.
That's a lot.
Really? I know it's a lot.
He's got to be a racist.
I swear, my father was never cruel to anyone, but he loved to piss people off, to use Phil's parlance, and,
my parlance. I don't even know if that's, is that the right word?
Yeah, parlance.
To use Phil's parlance, and, to that extent, he would buy, hey, look, I've got Bosco, ha, ha, ha. But we had black families. My mother and father used to play cards with a black couple, the Arringtons, and they were here every Friday and every Friday and every Wednesday night for bridge. And my father would say, anybody want me Bosco? And he'd just watch LeVar, or I forget his name, LeVar, or...
LeVar?
I don't know. Mr. Arrington, he'd watch him flip his lid.
And that just went on week in and week out, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So this guy Arrington comes over, and your father's trying to piss him off, but they're good friends.
Oh, very, very close friends. Very, for the rest of their lives. Mr. Arrington was a pallbearer at my father's funeral. And I said, you know, that my father promised to be a pallbearer at your funeral, Mr. Arrington. And he looked at me and said, well, you know, your father owes me one. I plan on going to heaven, but I'll take a swing by hell to see if he's at the gates and borrow him for a day and take it out of his... And then he went...
What kind of a story?
Hold on. And then he mouthed A-S-S like that, but he didn't say it. He went A using his fingers.
He said he'd take it out of his ass.
Well, you don't have to say it.
No, what's that mean?
It means that my father should have been a pallbearer at his funeral, but my father died before him. So he would never mind.
You know, this whole thing about I'm going to take a swing by hell to see if anybody... what is that about?
That was the guy. He said, look, I'll see you in hell. No, you won't, because I'm not going to hell, but I will swing by hell to see if you're at the front gate. And that's as far as I'll go. And I've always felt that that's a far better thing to say to a guy. You know what? I won't see you in hell, but I'll be on my way to heaven. I'll see you. I'll try to look through the front gates and see if I can spot you and wave.
All right, folks, our next guest here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show is Harvey Wireman and Abner Curtis. The guys are there over at the Curtis Gym, where we just left Dr. Jim Sadler. And I guess he's kind of pissed off. Harvey is on the line with us, along with Abner. And did you see Jim there?
I don't see. Abner Curtis is with us, the owner of Curtis Gin, Phil. And I got, this is great to see Abner. How you been?
I'm very good. And I'm thanked to Phil Henry Show for coming here.
Abner, you know, this movie, Hands of Stone, Phil's talking about, and General Shaw, everybody is at the studio. You got your headphones?
I got to get the headphones.
You got to put them on so you can hear what's going on.
Hold on 5 minutes. Hey, Mr. Henry, how are you?
Hey, Abner, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Abner, you know, Phil, a great light heavyweight fighter out of the San Diego area here, and always been a great friend of the show. Have you seen this movie?
I got invited to go to a screening, you know, Hollywood screening up here, and I've not yet gone to it.
And when's that going to be?
It's coming up on Saturday night.
Where's it at?
Been up to the studio, and got invited up, looking very much forward to it.
Did you know Roberto Duran?
Yeah, I knew the kid.
What kind of a fighter was it? What kind of a guy?
Very driven fighter. Very much a bull. Anytime you've seen him, you've probably seen the way he fought. He was moving in all the time. Cut the ring off on you. Not Joe Frazier necessarily, but more like, I'd say more like a Marciano, if you want a classic style. Roberto Duran was a guy that was going to punish your body. He's going to keep moving in, You know, and finally, boom, boom, you know, and hit you in the head, you know.
Hey, champ, this is General Galen Shaw. How are you, sir?
I'm real good, thank you.
Listen, Roberto Duran was essentially humiliated there in that last fight against Sugar Ray Leonard. When Sugar Ray Leonard made to hit him with that big bolo punch and instead jabbed him, how is it that a professional fighter in a championship fight can get chumped like that?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think he, Roberto, probably all of a sudden it just dawned on him what he'd done in his life and everything he'd done. And I feel that he said to himself at that time, all these things what I've done, No, it's no good. It's no good, right? And so I think he said, I'm going to let this guy beat me and humiliate me for the things what I've done.
Oh, come on. You think that...
I do. You think this guy...
That's a pretty bold statement.
You think this guy, Duran, basically threw the fight. No, it's not. He's not the same thing as throwing a fight. Throwing a fight, you know, you're going to throw the fight at the beginning of the fight. I think at the time... You know, he just gave up.
Yeah, you see, he gave up and everything. Let it hit him with the jab.
Yeah, I think so. But Roberto Duran was not going to let Sugar Ray Leonard beat him down. You know, he's not going to let him.
Going to let him knock him out.
No, he was not going to let him knock him out. And I think what he done was he said, "Let this guy win," you know, because of the stuff that I've done.
What when you say the stuff that he's done?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry.
Oh, okay. I work with disabled kids, and I got a kid named Rudy. I love him very much. You saw it. He goes, always goes to me. He goes, champ. He goes, champ, like that. I thought for me, you sound like him.
That sound like a disabled kid, huh?
Yeah, a little bit, Mr. Henry.
Okay, well, I'm fine. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a little bit nervous talking to you, but. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, you are nervous, aren't you?
Hey, listen, I got a question. Hey, champ, when you were talking, you met Roberto Duran. Did you talk to him after the fight?
Very briefly. I said, that's when he talked to me about what happened. You know?
I know what I was going to say.
Hold on. I'm answering the other guy. That's when he told me what happened. And I said, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know? Got to do what you got to do.
Can I ask you about...
Hold on, I'm talking to the other guy, man.
Hey, you know what? Now that I've got you on that topic, the restaurant that he had, did he go into the restaurant business?
Well, he got a restaurant down there in Panama City. And, you know, I think he's had a good life for himself, Roberto Duran. He really has. And he's a big, big star.
I was going to ask you, he's a big star...
I'm talking to the other guy right now.
Hold on for a minute. I'm conducting the interview, all right?
Take it easy, Phil.
What's this guy?
He's the host of the show.
What's your name?
My name's Phil Hendry.
Okay. I'm agreed to talk to Harvey Weinman and to General Shaw and to Margaret Gray.
Yes, I'm right here. I haven't said anything because this is all very much foreign to me. I'm not a fight fan at all.
That's all right. I mean...
I'm the host of the show.
I only agreed to talk to these people. I don't know you. I don't know where you're from. I don't know nothing about you. You know,
well, I'm the host of the show.
All right, Phil. Everybody knows. You're the host of the show.
I know what I want to ask. Can I ask the champ a question?
Yeah, go ahead, lady.
I want to know, when the men go into the corner and the people there are talking, they sit on a stool, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What are they talking to them about?
Well, a lot of times, strategy. Mostly, they're telling them to pace themselves. My manager was a guy named Jack Boyne. And Jack Boyne was...
Jack, did you say Jack Boyne?
No, Jack Boring. B-O-R-I-N-Z.
Jack Boring.
Hold up, man, I'm talking.
Sorry.
Who's this guy again?
It's Phil Hendry.
I'm the host of the show.
Yeah, we know you're the host of the show.
Hey, I know you're the host of the show. I tell you what I'm going to do, man. I'll go down here to the Five and Diamond, pick up one of these little tiny kitty belts. It says, host of the show. You can put that...
champ, you kill me.
So, anyways, I was saying... what they talk to you about, Ms. Gray, is strategy to say, hey, you know, you want to get in there and pace yourself. You maybe want to get inside, watch when he drops his left hand, or watch when he drops his right hand. What does it mean when he does this or when he does that? And you counter that, you know. That's what you count on your manager for, and he looks at the fight, and he sizes up the other fighter, and he's going to see things that you don't see.
Oh, and another question I wanted to ask you. When they give you the championship belt, is it really made out of gold and diamonds?
Well,
Oh, wait. I'm going to answer that.
Hey, Phil, where are you going?
Yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes it is.
Phil, where are you going?
And sometimes it ain't. My belt, I won as a welterweight before I became a light heavy. And it had a couple of rubies and sapphires and stuff like that. But most of the time, it's just a nice, beautiful belt that they let you have as a commemoration of the fight.
Hey, listen, champ, it's been fantastic talking to you. The movie's called Hands of Stone.
Yeah, Hands of Stone, Roberto Duran.
And while we're all Sugar Ray Leonard fans, and, you know, fans of a great fight, I think Roberto Duran is one of the great forgotten fighters, and I think that... I think it's wrong, you know, and I think he should be remembered for the many things what he done.
I agree with you. Even though he did bad things, you know, and...
Well, that's why you say that he let Sugar Ray Leonard beat his, as you put it, beat his ass.
Well, I would say Sugar Ray Leonard beat his ass.
Oh, no, he didn't beat his ass. But Sugar Ray Leonard had the better of him, and there's no question about that.
All right, well, Phil Henry is not here. I'm going to let you...
What happened? He got his feelings hurt.
He got his feelings hurt.
I thought I got...
All right, well, okay, what'd they do?
They have, but you can't hang up. They can't hang up. You want me to hang up on them?
Well, they... Yes, hang up on them. We're all done.
Well, what did they do?
They put the phone down.
Anyway, Phil Henry is not here because he got all bent out of shape and nobody gives a sweet hot... You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, why don't you sit down, Phil?
Oh, Phil, grow up.
I mean, I'm the host of the show.
Yes, for the 9 millionth time, we know that you're the host of the show. Who farted, please?
No one.
You farted, didn't you?
Ah, Jesus, bud.
I didn't do it.
Come here.
Ah! Damn, man.
Was it worth it?
Damn.
Was it worth it?
No. Not one worth it at all.
Had she bopped you right on the nose.
All right, may I take over this? Shit. Phil Henry Show.
God damn, I gotta get out of here.
Oh, I see. So it's a revenge fart. Is that it?
What a baby, bud. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Art Griego's Fear of Flying, directly from the stage there at the Ventura Comedy Club last night. We'll be talking with Art. Find out all about it, man. Mike, we've been telling you about Mike Birbiglia's new movie. Mike is a writer, director, and comedian, and he's worked with Ira Glass, who was the creator of This American Life, on a new film called Don't Think Twice. The second collaboration between Mike Birbiglia and Ira following Mike's successful directorial debut, Sleepwalk With Me. He's a funny man, a really inventive guy. The New York Times has picked Don't Think Twice, a critic's pick. Michael Phillips of the Chicago Tribune calls it one of the best movies of the year. And Fandango calls it a perfect movie about the cost of chasing dreams. EW says it's a love letter to improv. Great improvisational humor and acting. It is Mike Birbiglia's new movie called Don't Think Twice, co-starring Keegan-Michael Key and Gillian Jacobs, along with Mike Birbiglia and others. So check it out. We recommend it. It's a world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't think it's hitbound, baby.
It's hitbound, man, yeah. Check it out. It is Don't Think Twice, now playing in theaters everywhere.
Somewhere.
Yes. Burton Bilton. Burton Bilton at 11 o'clock. The Burton Bilton Report. Burton Bilton is looking at you, and he's looking out for you. When he looks at you, he fixes his gaze on you. Lock his stare with yours. Don't avert your eyes. Burton Bilton is in town. Burton Bilton, with the Burton Bilton commentary on Channel 5. Hello, I'm Burton Bilton. When I fix my stare on you, lock eyes with me, because I'm talking to you about the state of this country, what makes it great, what makes it not so great, and what makes it a seriously degenerated place where people can die every day. Burton Bilton. The Burton Bilton Report on Channel 6. Then, on Sunday nights, watch the Burton Bilton Report on Channel 7. Mondays, it's on Channel 8. Tuesdays, on Channel 9. And it keeps going up the dial like that. Very inventive, don't you think?
No.
I got nothing else. Burton Bilton. Does he exist? In your minds? Yes. The Burton Bilton Report.
How many mistakes do it take?
So, at the Ventura Comedy Club on Wednesday, and I say last night, I mean Wednesday night, Randy and the gang had us over, and again, my many thanks to such a wonderful bunch of guys. A great place to do stand-up, to entertain an audience.
I've done two shows there, and you know, one of these days, we're gonna do it right, man. It came right in the middle. This gig at the Ventura Comedy Club came right in the middle of all of this other stuff that was happening here at the show, and with the Phil Henry, massive entertainment effort.
Well, but in other words, you didn't link it on the site.
Yeah, we had a hard time getting our stuff together to promote it properly, but for the people that did show up, we had a wonderful time, and Art Griego is out there with me, and we have Art on our newsmaker line right now because Art was came over to the club and was talking to people about his days as a pilot, as a commercial pilot. So we're not talking here, Art, about your days, which still exist, of your flying cargo and flying private.
No, this was a meet and greet with your audience about flying.
Now, this is that stuff you've been talking about.
It's that stuff, General, you know?
Well, you're trying to tell me and every Christian soul, excuse me, that you are afraid of flying. You're afraid, deathly afraid of flying. But hold on, General. Can we turn that down? Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I can hear you fine.
That you're afraid of flying and you're afraid of heights. And you want me, a reasonable man, you know, I was in Vietnam. I may have PTSD. There may be a lot wrong with me, but it takes a whole lot to set me off. But, buddy, you're on your way.
Well, I don't know. If you're threatening me, I'm telling you right now that pilots are afraid of flying. It's what makes us great. It's Sullenberger. You know that guy, Sully?
You're not going to try and tell me.
Will I be allowed to finish, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead. I can't believe this.
All right, now, hold on. Sully Sullenberger, the film that's coming out, the one with Tom Hanks. You know who Tom Hanks is?
Yeah.
All right, you don't, excuse me for saying this, but we are on digitally, you don't fuck with Tom Hanks. And I can tell you...
Oh, no, hold on. I'm out of the movie business. I don't care what Tom Hanks thinks. You're acting like Tom Hanks. I got no flies. Like we like to say in the flying business, I got no flies on my ass. Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks, and he'll never tell Art Griego what to do. So if you say that...
I happen to know Tom Hanks.
Okay, that's different, because I have wanted to meet him.
Oh, I see. So now you're okay with Tom Hanks.
I've always been okay with Tom Hanks. I've always been okay with him.
Well, then what is this stuff about you ain't got no flies on your ass?
When it comes to flying, I don't have flies on. I just wanted to say that I'm a big fan of Tom Hanks. I loved him in the Catch It If You Can, and I loved him in the... was that Catch It If You Can or it's Catch You Can? And what's the...
Catch Me If You Can.
Okay, yeah, I loved him in that.
All right, well, this isn't the Tom Hanks fan club, though.
Yes, I'm mentioning Tom Hanks because he plays Sully Sullenberger, and I don't think Tom Hanks would be involved in anything that was less than honest. And there's nothing in that film about him being afraid of heights.
I don't think you have to. I think if you know about pilots, you know they're automatically frightened to death. Frightened to death of heights. And
so when a pilot gets on board, I heard you shoveling this a few years ago on the Henry Show. Man, you're still trying to sell these treats. You're still trying to sell these tiny little hot dogs in a miniature bun, aren't you?
What the hell are you talking about?
All right, look. Tell me about Sullenberger, because there's no way you're going to convince me of this.
Dr. Phil, I know that every pilot gets into the cockpit, and there's two things we learn. And when we learn these things, we become very automatic with them. The first thing you learn is to never panic the passengers, never panic people getting on the plane. Always make it seem like, yeah. And that is...
Well, what does that mean, yeah?
That is an actual technique that we are taught at pilot school, okay, genius?
Hey, let me tell you something. Wait, hold on now. You know, he's right. You're being sarcastic.
Yeah, a little bit.
What does that mean, yeah?
I'm telling you, that's the technique. We are taught, and my teacher was a guy named Terrence Rothko, and he'd been grounded because he wound up, they had to take him off the flight deck. He just started to scream one day. So when you say that pilots are not afraid, my very best friend in the world and one of my teachers was a guy named Terrence Rothko who was taken off the flight deck of a 757 one day because he started screaming. Okay? You like that story?
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
All right.
Is that true?
No. Yes, it is. Yes, it's true. Yes, it is.
You goddamn you.
It's true. I just thought I'd mess around and say that.
Dude, come on. We're not... I'm getting sick and tired of it. He almost went to the phone on you.
You want to repeat that, Phil? You went... So,
yeah, he kind of did, Mr. Annie.
Did he kind of did, huh?
No, you did, not he.
Yeah, like they're talking about you.
Fine, so tell me about your friend Terrence Rothko.
Terrence Rothko taught me to say, yeah, just like that. He would say, you flap out your left hand as if you're accepting a gratuity. You step forward with the left leg, and you go, yeah, welcome aboard. And
you got to be kidding me.
How many times am I going to say it to you?
All right.
And once the people were in their seats, and you sat down, and then you'd go, basically what you did is you just say, thank God Almighty that I made it this far, and you'd start praying, because once the door to the cockpit is closed, you have no idea what's going on in the cockpit. You would... God, I think about it today.
What are you talking about, man? This is the stuff you said on stage last night, that when the cockpit door closes, there's rosaries.
Oh, my God, there's people praying, pleading. There are people who are praying and pleading to be put out of their... There's people who are trying to climb through the windows. Even when we take off, you'll have a co-pilot or somebody, even a flight attendant, will come up and want to climb through one of the windows and just forget, I'm out of here, you know? I can't... So there's wailing, there's screaming and crying and tears. It is a hellhole. It is a hell ride until you land, and then you're supposed to open that cockpit door and go, yeah, here we are. So between the left hand flapping out and the left foot going forward and you with the hat pulled down just above the left eyebrow going, yeah, once you get into that cockpit, there is a hell ride, the likes of which I can't describe, of men, grown men, crying and pleading to be put out of their misery. Hello.
I'm here, man. You know, that is the most unbelievable story.
Well, it's true.
Well, I'll tell you this much, okay? I'll tell you this much, Art. I believe that...
Oh, in my mind, it's true, but it really isn't.
No, I believe there's probably been in the history of flight a flight deck like that. There were probably pilots or somebody someplace that I don't think it was because they were afraid of flying. I think somebody slipped something in their drink.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it was acid. See, this is what's frustrating.
Now, hold on for a minute. Art, you cannot very well expect us to believe that every pilot is scared to death of flying.
When I get off the plane, the first thing a pilot does, because you're taught how to walk real calm, hey, how you doing? I hope you fly, you know, excuse me for saying this, but this is how I feel. I hope you fly asshole airlines again. And once they're out of sight, then you go into the bathroom, and you vomit for about 5 minutes.
Okay,
so you're calling me a liar.
Last night I called you a liar.
Yeah, I heard that. You did it for the benefit of the audience, and they thought it was comedy. They thought, well, that's Phil just telling Art Griego that he's a low, no-count, just a crawling snake of a liar, but it's for laughs.
Yeah, that's how funny that is, man. I don't know what it is about you.
I know what it is. You got it in for the airline industry because you probably got fired from drinking on the job.
I was drinking on the job, yeah, and I was fired, but that's not why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Oh, Art, come on.
All right, forget it. Fine. Next time you fly, just think about what I was saying, that the pilot's up there, and he's most likely doing this.
He hung up?
No, I hung up.
But he hung up first.
You can't hang up on me anymore, remember?
Well, you can. Yes, you can put the receiver down.
So you think that's funny?
Yeah, sir, that's not funny at all.
It was funny to me. If you don't think it was funny, folks, you play that back and tell me if you thought it was funny or not. That there you go. And thank you so very, very much for listening to our show here, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
What an asshole, Henry. I swear to God.
You know, you guys are free with the words today.
Well, it is. It is. It's a Friday, and it is a free day. F-R-E-E, or if you will, on a day like today, F-R-I is spelled free, or it's pronounced free. It's spelled free day on a Friday.
What?
That's what we ought to call it, free day.
Well, excuse me, my throat has been a little scratchy since I...
Since you what?
Since I started coaching soccer, that's all I'm going to say.
Really? We're going to talk about this one.
No, we're not talking about anything. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. By the way, your Siempre business card does work.
Thank you. Well, how do you know?
How do you like that? I bet you she's out buying those rat-ass chairs.
They're called rattan.
I know.